Welcome to this inspirational teaching of Celebration Sisterhood.
We are so glad you're joining us from wherever you are in the world, tuning into Sisterhood Online. We trust you'll enjoy and be encouraged by this week's experience. Thanks for being with us. I just want to take a couple of minutes to introduce our speaker today. Many of you know this past weekend, I was over in Birmingham speaking at Church of the Highlands Women's Conference. It was a phenomenal experience. I'm so thankful and that I got to be a part of that. And so I just scheduled Liz to go ahead and give me a little breathing room and speak today for me. And she is going to do a great job. If you don't know Liz already, she came on as my assistant and she still is my assistant, but she also is the sisterhood coordinator for Celebration Sisterhood Worldwide. Celebration Sisterhood Worldwide. So that means not just Midtown, not just Orange Park, not just St. John's, Camden, St. Augustine, and all the local campuses and Hardy, but also Zimbabwe, Costa Rica, and Ireland. And she is helping me push forward the vision to all of those locations. She's got a great word for you today. So let's give her the biggest welcome that we can. Liz, welcome up.
Aw, that is so sweet. I don't feel like my job's that big sometimes, but when you take a step back, you realize that you do a lot more than you think you do. So I'm so excited to be here. How's everybody doing today? Online audience, are you guys doing good? I'm so excited to be speaking to you all. And the topic for today is we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So as you know, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and it's a letter that Paul wrote a long, long time ago. And sometimes we can think it's very disconnected, right? We've talked about a lot of different things, but we have to remember that this was one letter that was written from Paul to the Corinthians with very specific goals in mind. And although he does talk about some very specific things, and today we're going to be talking about marriage versus singleness. And some of you married ladies are like, why do we have a single girl telling us about marriage? I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. No, but we all know that God sometimes uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Well, I think sometimes a single woman can talk to married woman about the word of truth. And everything I'm going to be talking about today is straight out of the Bible. So, you know, when I tell you to have sex with your husbands, I'm not saying anything the Bible doesn't say, okay? So just keeping it real, all right? Keeping it real. So we are going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about singleness. And we're going to really be talking about being content. And the title of this message today is Be Content, and how we can be content with whatever stage of life that we are in. And so I want to talk to you today and let you know that Paul was actually in this chapter responding to a question that they had asked in a previous letter. And just so you know, to give you a little bit of background, the Christian church was actually known in this time as being a threat to families. Because what was happening is people were getting saved. They were getting so fired up and pumped up that they would leave their husband or wife and just go off and do their own thing and try to follow God and pursue God. And so really what they were asking here, they were asking Paul, like, are we supposed to live a celibate life? Like, are we supposed to not have sex and not, you know, not be married? And really this chapter right here is in response to their question and how to look at marriage and how to look at the calling that God has on our lives. And so again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, Paul does talk about some specific things. You know, maybe you didn't get saved and all of a sudden leave your husband. Good for you. I'm very proud of you. But that might not be what you're dealing with. You know, you might not be struggling with, should I leave my husband because I got saved? But there are some underlying principles here. There are some very general principles that Paul talks about that transcend time, that transcend your status of life. The word of God is just as true for me being a single woman as it is for you being a married woman, or if you're a single woman or whatever. And just as true if you've been divorced, if you've been widowed, no matter what your stage is in life, the word of God is true for each and every one of us. It transcends our stage in life. It transcends our status. And so I want to talk about three things today that God is really trying to tell us through Paul in this chapter. And the first one is your status. Consider your status a gift. Consider your status a gift. And it says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, For I wish that all men were even as I myself. Paul was actually single when he was writing this, and he's saying, I wish that all men were single. But he goes on to say, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. And that word gift that he uses right there, that's actually the same word for gift that he uses in chapter 12 when he's talking about spiritual gifts. It's the same exact word. God has given you a gift to be single. God has given you a gift to be married. And not just married, but married to your husband, okay? You're not just gifted for marriage. You're gifted to be married to your husband. You're called to be married to your husband if you're married. If you're single right now, God has called you to that state. He's gifted you for it. And, you know, we have so many, I hear so many single women who look at younger girls right out of high school, right out of college, and they get married right away. All of a sudden, they're married, and they're like, well, I'm following God. I'm seeking after God. Like, I'm doing what he's asked me to do. Why am I not married yet? Why hasn't that guy come for me yet? And we have to look at it as God has gifted us. We are in this stage and in this season for a purpose, for a reason. God has something that he wants to carry out in you in your single time that no one else can carry out. Same thing though to the married women. You know, well, God, why'd you make me marry this man? Pretty sure it didn't happen like that. But, you know, you're called to that man. You're called to your husband. And you know what? Whether you're single or married, you're going to stand account for how you've lived your life and whether you've been a good steward of that stage. You know, don't just think, oh, well, I'm single, so these years don't really count. Not till I get married. Then I can really start living out my calling. What if that was my perspective? What if I said, oh, I'm just going to, you know, hang out and be Pastor Carrie's assistant, just be quiet. And, you know, I don't want to speak to women because I'm not married and I can't really relate to them, which might be true on some levels. But I could let that hold me down and not fulfill my purposes, even though I am single, and not come up here and speak in front of you. I could have been terrified and said, I know you told me to speak on this week, but no way. I am not doing it. You know, I could have said that. And she probably would have respectfully said, okay, well, maybe we'll find another week or maybe we'll take you off. You know, she probably would have accommodated me in that if I really would have said, no, I'm not doing that. But you know what? God has a purpose and God has a plan and he can use you no matter what. He has you in the state of life that you're in and you have to look at it as a gift that God has given you. He has called you to walk in it. And so I also want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which that's going to get redundant saying because pretty much all the chapters are out of 1 Corinthians or all the verses are out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 17 through 24. And it says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Don't really know how they would do that. Don't really want to know. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. We did hear about that happening in the Bible. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. That could very well say marriage is nothing, being single is nothing. But look what it says next. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Not whether you're married, not whether you're single, not whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, which obviously none of us have to worry about that, but whether or not you keep the commandments of God. It goes on to say, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Now, I know you single ladies are like, wait a second. You're not telling me that I'm just supposed to remain this way forever, are you? Because I don't like the sound of that. I don't like the sound of that either, let's be honest. But it's not really saying that. And as you go forward and you look at, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Oh, wait, I skipped part. That's why it doesn't make sense. Okay, so it says, let each one remain the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. And so it does say to slaves, if you were called while a slave, and same thing. You know, so many times we think, we became a Christian, so we need to quit our job and move to the mission field, or, you know, we need to get married right away, or we need to divorce our unbelieving husband. You know, we want to make these quick decisions, but Paul is saying no. But if you do have an opportunity, if you were a slave and you have an opportunity to become free, use it. And same thing, you know, with marriage and this whole thing, he's not against marriage. He's saying it's okay to be married. But really the problem was in this time with the Jewish culture of this day, basically said if you weren't married by a certain age, like, it's over for you. Like, you have to be married to fulfill God's calling. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. And so really what Paul is giving them permission to be single. It is okay to be single. And so he's really giving them permission here. And so if you do have an opportunity to be married, then you can use that opportunity. I know I will. And so I'm just saying. And so also now, one thing I do want to go back, talking about, you know, the married women in the room, it does make a comment, you know, your body belongs to your husband and your body belongs to your husband and your husband's body belongs to you. Now, I know when I'm married, some woman starts looking at my husband and be like, no, his body belongs to me. And so that's how it is. Our bodies belong to each other when we're married. And so, and we have a duty. It says, you know, that we should let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. And now, is this saying that if your husband doesn't give you affection, and this is not just talking about sex, it's talking about affection, romance, talking about the whole nine yards. Let the husband render to his wife the affection that's due to her, and let the wife so do the same to her husband. Now, does that mean that if your husband doesn't give you affection, you can say, nope, you're not going to get what you want? No. If there's one thing that I have learned, and I hear that from on movies, all, you know, you hear that on movies, you hear that on TV shows, you know, I can't believe you said that. Let's see if you get any tonight. You know, and it's like that whole reaction of, well, you did this, so you're not getting any. And it's that whole response. But if there's one thing that I have learned from relationships, it's that we can only control ourselves. We will not be accountable for the way that our... Now, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about abuse, and I'm not talking about a man who's unfaithful. I'm talking about normal, everyday, your husband makes it sound like you're fat in that outfit and you don't like it and you're getting all upset. So you're just, it's just like over for him. You know, that whole thing, you know, that whole, you know, and I'm a woman, I'll be honest. I know how it is. And so, you know, you want to be treated a certain way. And so when you're not, what do we often do? We say, okay, well, if you do that, then I do this. But that's not what God says, is it? If you do that, well, then I still act the way I'm supposed to act and treat you the way that I'm supposed to treat you and give you the affection that's due to you. You know, sex is more than physical. And really, in this day and time, a lot of the religions and philosophies, you know, Epicureanism and Gnosticism, you know, they were really saying that your physical body is one thing and the spirit is another. And Gnosticism really said your body is evil and wicked and no good can be ever come of it. And so really, it doesn't matter what you do physically. It doesn't affect your spirit. And so basically, they would take on this idea that sex is just physical. It's not anything more than that. But what do we tell single ladies? What's one of the main reasons we say wait? Because there is a spiritual connection. There is something more to sex. So why don't we treat it that way in marriage? Why, once we're in marriage, we treat it as solely physical? It is more than just physical. There is a spiritual aspect to it. It's not just, oh, I'm tired. No, it's more than that. And so we need to treat it that way. And if we're so adamant, hold on, can we put up this point? Because I want to say it exactly as I have it written on this point. If we're so adamant about saving sex for marriage, why aren't we so adamant about withdrawing as much as we should in marriage? You know, we're putting in the savings. I'm making some deposits to my savings account. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm making some deposits in my savings account, and I can tell you that when I get married, I am ready to withdraw. I'm just saying, I just realized this is going to be on video for all to see. Hello, online audience, whoever's watching. Okay, so I'm just saying. So let's look at it that way, okay? Let's make some use of your withdrawals, okay? And so let's treat it. And remember, if you don't do it, if you don't do your calling in this way, you better hope no one else will. You are the only one who can fulfill that calling. The only one, I hope. And so you have to walk in that. You have to do that. Okay, not going into details. All right, moving on to the next point. What I do want to say is it's so funny how when you're single, you want to be married, right? And when you're married, you're like, man, I wish I would have used that time in independence a little bit better. And then when you have kids, in Pastor Carrie's words, you just want to pee alone. I mean, I don't have them, but I'm just saying what I've heard. And and then, just to be honest, when you're a widow, you miss the companionship. You miss it. And it doesn't matter how hard it was, but you still miss it. And so we need to treasure the season that we're in. How many times do we hear women who are further along in life say, treasure the moments. Treasure where you are. Embrace the season of life. Consider your status a gift from God and walk in it. Live your life to the fullest. Don't let that be a hindrance to the call of God on your life. So that was point number one. The second point is be free from concern. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 32a, it says, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. You know, ladies, I know that some of you were kind of alarmed, like those who have wives should live as if they don't. Like, what is he trying to say here? He's not advocating the neglect of families. What he's saying is we need a shift in our mindset. It is not us four and no more, as Christine Kane says. It's not just have your happy little house and your happy little family and just serve God just in your little home. Everything's good. We're all going to heaven. Glory be to God. No. Every single day, there are people dying and going to hell. And if we just keep ourselves in this little bubble and nothing else matters, his whole point in saying this is let's not live lives that are fettered. Let's live unfettered lives. Let's live lives that are not bogged down by concerns and cares. And, you know, I'm not a mom, and I'm probably going to eat my words one day, but being a mom does not mean that you have to live the rest of your life in a panic attack. So many mothers, and again, I may eat my words, I know I'm not a mom, so I'm sorry, but so many moms, every moment, every time they get a call, what happened? You know, and it's like everything that goes on, if they didn't call exactly on the dot when they said they were going to call, oh my gosh, something must be wrong. You know what worry is? Temporary atheism. Worry is temporary atheism. Do you believe in God? Do you trust God? Do you trust God for your kids? Do you trust God for your husband? Do you trust God or not? That's what it comes down to. And we as women, I know we can be worriers. We can be the kind that when you call your friend and you're praying, but you're really worrying through your prayers. And it's all about like, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And Lord, you know, don't let this happen and don't let that happen. And no, are we going to trust God that God is our protector? God watches over us. God's ways are higher than our ways. And you know what? He works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Are we going to walk in the power that we have? Or are we going to give in to temptation every time it comes around and let our minds be bogged down with worries? Same thing with single people. We all know what you guys worry about. Am I going to get married? Is this him? Oh, is this him? Oh, is this him? Oh, is this him? You know, we're always looking, always seeing, you know, okay, and God, well, I mean, if I don't get married by the time I'm 25, okay, God, if I don't get married by the time I'm 30, okay, God, you know, we keep worry all in the back of our minds. And we make decisions based on men who are not even interested in us. Ever seen the movie? He's just not that into you, okay? If he's not pursuing you, don't make decisions based on him. Don't quit your job. Don't move to a different job. Don't move to a different city. Hello? Okay? Unless you guys are in a committed relationship moving toward marriage, that should be the only reason why you make a decision based on a man. Okay? Don't let those worries and concerns weigh down your mind. This is what Paul's saying. Be free from concern so that you can live out your calling. If you're always worried about your kids, if you're always worried about your husband, if you're always worried about when you're going to meet your husband, when you're going to meet the man of your dreams, you know, if you're always thinking about that, you are missing opportunities that God's bringing your way. We need to be ready for those. And so the second point is be free from concern. And the third and final point is don't be a distraction. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 to 33, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. Let's ask ourselves an honest question right now. Are you difficult to please? Are you difficult to please? Because if you are difficult to please, and I'm talking to single ladies too, this applies to all of us. Because I know most of you singles, most of you have probably dated, and so you know, are you difficult to please in a relationship? Because if you are difficult to please, you know what this verse is basically saying? You're pulling that man down. You are pulling him down so that he cannot be as concerned with the affairs of the Lord. And this is something that I've learned so well and been displayed by Pastor Carrie. You know, she calls herself a relational camel. You know, she has to really not let herself be bogged down by things. She can't be so concerned like we were talking about in the last point. She has to let Pastor Stovall, she has to release him. She has to let him live out his calling. And it's not, you know, it's not always easy. He travels and he does these things. And, you know, and she has to release that. She can't be jealous. She can't hold that against him when he comes home. What would their marriage, this church would not be what it is right now. If she could not relinquish that in marriage, if she was difficult to please, this church could not be what it is right now. Think about the potential. You can definitely clap for that. Think about the potential that your man has or your future man could have by you releasing him, by you not being difficult to please, by you, you know what, taking the high road, swallowing it down. Yes, he said that, and no, that was not right, and no, you didn't need to hear it, but just swallow it down. And you know what, as Pastor Stovall talked about a couple weeks ago, cancel that debt. Cancel it. How many times do you forgive? 70 times 7. Not one time. So when it happens the second time, it's not like the second time, it's like the first time. Forgive every single time. And so we need to learn to be easy to please and not in a bad way. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35 says, and this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Are you a distraction? Are you a distraction to your husband? Are you a distraction to, you know, the person you're dating? Are you, you know, just like I was talking about, pulling, instead of releasing and encouraging and uplifting? You know, women, we have been given a unique role as encouragers. Most of us have the gift of encouragement. We need to operate in that, not always nitpicking on the little things, and this is what bugs me, and I can't believe you did this. But releasing our husbands to walk in their potential. And you know what? When you stay at home with your kids so your husband can go serve on a serving team, you are serving God. By releasing him, and when he comes home, not being like, oh, glad you're finally here. Time to put the kids to bed. Or I just put the kids to bed. I can't believe you just showed up. No, release your husband. He has a calling on his life that can only be reached by you releasing. By you allowing him and encouraging him and uplifting him to walk in that. And it does take sacrifices. You know, again, I'm not a wife, but I do know a lot of people who are wives. And it does take a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of dying to self. It takes a lot of just letting them do their thing. And you not getting any of the credit. You not getting any of the spotlight. You not getting any of the, you know, the excitement of doing it. But you know what? You have your part in it. And God will reward you for that. He sees everything. You know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so we need to remember that as we release our husbands to walk in their full potential. I'm so far off my notes, I don't even know where I am. Okay, so... and so... and so... you know, and one thing I wanted to say too is that for single ladies, talking to you for a minute, you know, when you're looking at your future husband, it is not just, ooh, boy, ooh, he's hot. That boy looks good. You know, it's not just, I like you, you like me, let's go. You know, as Pastor Stovall says. You know, it's more than that. You know, when you're looking at your future husband, and I'm talking to the older women here for a minute too, because we all know how you guys like to push the grandkids. We all know how you guys like to push, oh, what about that one? What about this one? What about that one? You guys do the same thing to us that we do to ourselves, okay? I'm just saying. So be careful though, because the purpose of marriage is not for our mutual pleasure, our mutual satisfaction, our mutual fulfillment. That's what this whole thing is about. Paul is saying marriage is not the end all be all. Marriage is not all there is. There is life beyond marriage. Okay? We don't just get married and then we go to heaven. That's it. Sorry, but that's not how it works. Okay? There's a purpose. God has a plan for you. And you know what? You need to wait on that. You are worth waiting for. And it's going to be so much better to be with someone who you can work together with and partner with and fulfill God's calling than if you just come after the first guy who comes along just because he's cute. Because none of us wants to be in a marriage where we're not fulfilling our purposes, where we're not fulfilling our calling. Now, God can work all things together for the good. But as Pastor Kerry preached a great message at the Recreate Conference just this past weekend about, let's live God's plan A for our lives. You know, there's a plan B, but let's live God's plan A. Because it's going to be so much better, it's going to be so much more fulfilling, and we are truly going to be able to walk in the call that he has for us and see his purposes come to pass on earth. Is that not the goal? Is that not the goal of life, to see his purposes come to pass on earth? To see people saved, to see people going to hell, make a decision, and now they're going to heaven to spend eternity with Jesus? Let's have the right mindset. Let's have the right attitude when we're looking at our future husband. Let's make sure we look at the right things. Let's make sure we can work as a partnership. Let's make sure we have the same calling. Let's listen to wise counsel. Just as Pastor Carrie posted on her blog yesterday, if your mom and dad don't like him, your friends don't like him, your pastor doesn't like him, probably something wrong with him. Let's be honest. Okay? Let's listen to wise counsel and listen to wise advice. And for the older women, give wise counsel. I just want to encourage you in that. These younger women, myself included, we look to you. And so are you putting pressure on us to get married? Are you putting pressure on us to be in a relationship? Or are you supporting us in finding the call of God on our life? Because that is the bigger thing. Okay? And as it says in verse 28, those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And all the married people said, amen. So, but Paul says, and I want to spare you this. That's what he's saying. When you're married, it is not easy all the time. It's not rainbows and butterflies, okay? I have a mom and dad who are married. I know, you know, I see, don't worry. I know it's not always easy, okay? That's why, don't you want to know that when you're getting married, this is the call of God for me. This is going to help me reach my purposes. Because when it does get tough and you are in that situation and you're having that big argument, you want to know that this is for God's glory. This is not for me to be happy. This is not for me to just, oh, I want a man who just tells me I'm beautiful all the time and just, you know, makes me feel wonderful on the inside and brings me flowers and chocolates. I don't know why that's in a Southern accent, my bad. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It is about fulfilling the call of God on our lives. So I just want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you, first of all, view your stage in life, view your status in life as a gift. It is a gift from God. He's placed you there. You have a purpose. You have a calling in that area and in that spot. And then secondly, don't be free from concern. Don't get overly concerned. Don't worry. How many times does Jesus say in the Bible? Jesus himself says, do not worry. And to live life knowing that it is short. It is here today, gone tomorrow. We are but a vapor. Life is so short, we cannot spend the majority of it just thinking about negative thoughts. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Don't spend your time thinking about all the things he said and, oh, I can't believe he did that. No, you work it all up in your brain. You're working it all up and you're making it even worse than it was. And we need to learn how to, A, it is very important to communicate, obviously, be able to communicate in a loving way, but also to be able to cancel debts, to be able to say, you know what? He did that. He said that. That was not the right thing for him to say. I can hold it against him, and I probably should, but I'm going to cancel that debt and act like it, you know, it didn't happen. I'm going to cancel. He owes me something, but I'm going to cancel the debt. And so be free from concern. And then lastly, don't be a distraction. Don't be a distraction. And that's true, not just for the men in your lives, but for the women in your lives. Don't live your life in a way that is a distraction. And you know what? Oh, you know what? I skipped one of my good points. Okay, this is a good point. Others reaching their potential in Christ relies on your level of contentment. Others reaching their potential in Christ relies on your level of contentment. And so in order for others to reach their potential, you need to be content in your own life. Because your discontentment is a distraction to other people. You being discontent is a distraction. And so you need to have the right attitude and be content in your life. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so I just want to encourage you to be content where God has placed you. Live your life fully with the potential that that God has placed in you. And don't listen to the lies of Satan. Don't listen to him as he tries to speak those things into you, to speak your inadequacy, to speak your, you know, that your kids are in trouble or that your kids need, you know, aren't being protected or that something's going to happen to them or that your husband's going to leave you or, you know, whatever those lies are that Satan's speaking to you, do not listen to him. Make him regret the day that he ever tried to mess with you. And I really think that that's something for the women of this time. We need to get mad at the devil. Don't just listen to him and curl up in your little ball and, you know, drink your chocolate milk and eat your bonbons. Think, oh, yeah, I'm never going to get married because, you know, I just passed that age and it's never going to happen for me. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, you're just listening to the lies of Satan. Or, you know what, my marriage is never going to change. He's always going to be this way. I'm just going to lay over here and just, you know, just soak it all in. Self-pity. Your selfishness is a hindrance. Don't be inward. When we're inward, it's over. When it's all about us, and it's all about what we want or what we think we should have, it's over. We cannot be effective for the kingdom if we're thinking about ourselves. Let's start thinking about others. Let's start thinking about other people, okay? So be content with where you are. Know who God has called you to be. Because you know what? The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. He has given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. He has empowered you. He has given you strength and grace and love. The Holy Spirit in you wants to love your husband at every second of every day. The Holy Spirit in you wants to be free from worry every second of every day. The Holy Spirit in you is satisfied without a relationship with a man. The Holy Spirit in you is calling you to be who you are. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have everything that you need already. View where you are as a gift and walk in that calling. Walk in the calling that God has for you so you can be effective for his kingdom. You have a plan and I can't carry it out. Pastor Carrie can't carry it out. Mercy can't carry it out. You have to carry it out. You have to walk in your calling. Be content where you are and don't be a distraction from others. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much, God, for this word that you've given to me. Lord, to speak through your just your holy word, God, this letter from Paul from so long ago. I thank you for the wisdom that we can find in it that applies to today. Lord, I just ask that whatever stage these women are in this room, God, and watching online, whatever stage we're in right now, God, that we would embrace it. Lord, that we would not be afraid to walk in what you have for us, that we would not hold ourselves back because of worry or concern, that we would not be a distraction to others, but God, that we would walk in your fullness, that we would walk in your Holy Spirit that you've placed on the inside of us, God, that we would be who you've created us to be. God, we thank you that we can be content because your Holy Spirit is with us, that you've empowered us to be content. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all these gifts that you've given to us. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Celebration Sisterhood. We hope this message has been an inspiration and opened your heart to embracing all that God has for you.